In John chapter 9, beginning in verse 1, the text reads this. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And having said these things, he spit on the ground. He made mud with the saliva, and then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So when he went and washed, he came back seeing. I don't know how many of you would remember this, but the second time I ever preached here, second time, I preached from this text. And I titled the lesson, Mud, Spit, and Tears, instead of Blood, Sweat, and Tears. And I was feeling kind of nostalgic, and it dawned on me, I don't think that I have preached on this text since then. I know I have addressed it in other situations and given it attention in class settings or maybe as a illustration in a sermon, but I've not come back to this one text, which seems like kind of a shame in 10 years. But I think that there are some things that I see here that I didn't see 10 years ago. And I guess that's not too surprising. Jesus said that when you dwell on Scripture, it's like the householder finding treasure, new and old, things that you knew that were in the text and new applications that you didn't see before. And before, when I preached on the text, I always thought of this in terms of, well, the reaction. The reaction of the blind man, the reaction of the other people who thought they could see but didn't see, the people who were upset with Jesus, upset with the blind man because he had been healed, apparently for no other reason were they upset with him, rather than because he was ready to acknowledge who Jesus was. But there are some things, I think, that we see in these four or five verses where Jesus actually heals this man that are worth noting. First of all, did you notice that Jesus refused to get caught up in this debate about whether or not the man deserved his help? The disciples asked, who sinned, this man or his parents? So was he a sinner, or did he come from a bad family because he was born blind? They assumed that because he was blind, either he was sinning or his parents had done something awful. Jesus simply refused to get caught up in that debate. The notable thing here is that this man was blind, and he needed to see, and Jesus helped him. The second thing is that Jesus touched this man, and he affirmed this man whose malady caused many others to keep their distance from him. They assumed because bad things were happening to him, he was a bad person. But Jesus lovingly reached out and touched him and accepted him. And then Jesus taught his disciples here that they've only got a limited amount of time to do good things. Jesus said, you have to do the good while it's day. The night is coming when no man can work. You don't always have opportunity in front of you. When people see good things coming from us, they glorify God who's in heaven, and they can learn something new about him through our actions and appreciate him and be touched in ways that they hadn't. Those opportunities won't last forever. One day, the blind man's not going to be at the city gates anymore. Jesus also said that as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. As long as people can look at us while we're working for Jesus and see him and see us imitating Christ and constituting the body of Christ in our own present day, then there's a chance. There's a chance that they can see. There's a chance that they can believe. Compassionate deeds to suffering people have no guarantee. You don't know how folks are going to react. And I know that people who have worked on our benevolent committee and our elders can attest to this. Just because you do something good for people doesn't mean that they're going to learn the right lesson. It doesn't mean that the people around you are going to learn the intended things that they need to see. It doesn't mean that they're going to be appreciative. But these good deeds should still be performed anyway. They should just be performed because they're right, because they're loving. So don't grow weary in doing good. Remember Jesus' example here. Jesus' example of love and service. Remember that Jesus has loved and served each one of us to the fullest measure. So let's give our love and service to him and others that are around us. Perhaps you're ready to make a public commitment that you hadn't made before tonight. Maybe we can baptize you. Or perhaps you need to make a recommitment of your life to loving and serving like Jesus. We're happy to help you with that. We're ready to pray with you. All you need to do is let us know as we stand and sing to encourage you.